88.
88.
88. I'm going that way.
Yes.
Bring all reverse.
Yeah, Carly's got work in hand. She's doing good. Storm had surgery this morning. I'm conditions, I just pray for all men.
You never know when things like this gonna happen.
And the other guy, I think, was hurt, but I don't remember anything about him. They took him to the hospital.
There's a wreck somewhere, somebody got flew to the hospital. Was that you? Or whatever.
No, they, not the one over there.
Okay, I'm gonna think of something else.
Was it yesterday morning?
I mean, it's time about, I can't remember.
They flew a stroke out yesterday morning from over there.
Yeah. Anybody else?
We have Kara, she's sick, and Barb's family, and we lost Kimberly.
Oh, yeah, Kimberly Burns died the other night. Her daddy Mike's a deacon up at Smart Shrug. A very good man.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, don't come up, I'm Mike Burns. Good man. Wife Nancy. I know, I've never lost a child, but I can imagine what that's like. Seen my aunt and my cousin got killed in a car wreck back in 1977. She was crazy. So, I mean, you never know. It's a hard situation to put up with. Anybody else?
Remember Derek, I think Christina said that he ended up with pneumonia. Derek Chapman.
Yeah, they've had a lot of sickness in their family.
Yeah.
Matt's
feet's still hurting pretty bad too. He's got that plantar fasciitis.
Yeah.
What
do you say? Matt.
Remember Dave, he can go get his arm checked out this week, and his vision's coming and going in his left eye. We're not sure what that's all about.
Yeah.
So just pray for him. He'll be okay. Dr. Bamber.
Dave.
Pray for Randy Long too. Stephanie said that Katie messaged her today and said that he's got the flu again. Last time he really struggled with it. And so I asked to pray for him. And remember Stephanie too, she's just not able to breathe good. She's sick and she's really struggling. You know, she's got asthma and all, and it's been difficult on her. And just pray that she get healed up and the rest of them get healed up. I don't want to sound selfish, but pray I don't get it. You know, I don't want to get sick no more than I have been. So
yeah.
I'm wore out. I've been fighting something for a few days, but. Anyways, I got Preacher Matthew to preach for us tonight. Said I didn't figure out if it's going to move another way. That's always discouraging for me trying to preach without him here. So I said, I'm just going to get Matthew to preach. I'm going to go sit and listen. I can do that. It's fine. So I appreciate him being willing to be ready. And thank the Lord for them. Thank the Lord for all y'all. Thank the Lord for loving us. These folks here was here Sunday, and they just needed some help, but when they got to ask us, everybody done left. So I told Jesse to tell them. It's
Stephen and Lindsay.
Lacey.
I'm sorry.
I told them they'd come back. Now, at the end of service, we'll pick up offering for us. We're going to do that at the end of service. I think they're from out of town. Did he say Kentucky? Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And they're trying to get back home and just get some hard times. So they come back tonight, so at the end of service, we're going to take up offering for them, but pray for them, the Lord watch out for them, keep them safe from their traps.
Amen.
Anybody else? I'd like to get you to pray for my wife. She went to the doctor the other day. She's got a sinus infection, and she's talking to her dick. She's probably saying base right now. But pray for her, Lord, help her, heal her. Pray for our children, my grandchildren. I got an aunt and uncle. My uncle needs the Lord. Pray for them. I got a lot of cousins, family members, friends. Got some good friends that you know I trust in my life, but I don't know where to call them.
Yeah.
Really don't. We need to pray for our friends because I got one. He's just like a brother to me. Never was growing up. I mean, if you seen him, you seen me, or whatever, you know. We're always together, but pray for him. Pray for one of my truck driving buddies. His grandpa's a preacher. And yet, about every word comes out of his mouth is a bad word. About every other word, rather. But pray for him. Anybody else?
Remember our grandchildren.
Yeah, remember that.
David.
We have two special.
Anybody else want to come pray? service tonight for Preacher Matthew?
That other boy was in that red, he's a friend of mine, used to be a boy I grew up with, I guess, led for the church. But I would say this, I mean, he, according to what Shelley said, he was under the influence, and that was surprising. Whenever he hit him, it was his fault. But, you know, pray that God use this situation to work in his life. He needs the Lord.
Yeah.
He's, if you know him, I mean, you know, he's done something foolish, hurt somebody that I love and we all love. That makes me a little aggravated with him, especially those who don't know him. But if you know the boy, he's as humble as can be. And I know him well enough to know it probably really concerns him for their sakes, and he probably feels really, really guilty about what's going on. And I'm sure that he'll face some sort of charges, and I'm sure he needs it. And I pray that in that, and through that, God will use that to open his eyes, let him see the light, and that he might see Jesus, and he'd be born again. And that's what he needs. I got a burden for me. He lived with me for a good while, and he's kind of like a little brother to me. But I still see him out of my body in church here many times. And, you know, he says all the time he's going to come, but, you know, he ain't showed up yet. But just pray for him. His name is Jesse Levin.
You know, it's all something to always keep in mind. You never know what method God might use to wake you up.
Yeah.
And get your attention.
Yeah.
You never know. Might be a car wreck, might be death. You never know.
Yeah.
That's a fact. Anybody else? Go ahead and pray. Okay, everybody came to look. Come around all. We'll pray. Brother Chris, come on, make us pray.
For the good things and the things of God, we will make it to the place of the Lord. As we see our prayers, and so he'll be saved to God. Let me know that I'm going for sanctified and working in the church and allow me to serve. I thank you, Lord, for this church and my family. I thank you, Lord, for the community that I grew up in, Lord, in the church. And may the God, Lord, that stood fresh in my soul, Lord, has been thinking of God's and Christian word. I thank you, Lord, for everyone that's come here and I pray this all to share a burden for one another and share my burden, Lord. I pray for God, may you help him and bless him and bless him, God. Lord, I pray that you know him come as you can. Lord, I pray, God, that you be at this service and tonight, God, it's your service. It all belongs to you, Father. I pray, God, that you penetrate the hearts and minds of me and each and every one of us here tonight, that you draw us closer to you. I pray that you watch for my family and keep them safe from my absence. God, I pray, Lord, that you be with us tonight. Lord, that you help us. I pray for those that's been mentioned who are sick, may you touch them and heal them. Lord, help us to be thankful and grateful for all that anything you do. Lord, I pray for those that's lost loved ones. God, I pray that you give a special comfort and touch and give them to them. And I help to them, Lord. I pray, God, that you'd be with me and help them, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you continue to grow us, Lord, in spirit and in truth. Help us to worship you. I pray tonight that you'd be glorified with everything that's said and done here. Lord, I pray, God, that you would be magnified in the name of your Son, Jesus, be exalted in every place. For us, and he said he'd be glad to. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful to have
people that's willing to step up, amen. That's a blessing to me. Takes a load off me. I can, you know, call out, so to speak. I still showed up. That's pretty bad. I call out to work, show up anyway. Watch somebody else do your job.
That's pretty slick right now.
Yeah. But I appreciate that. I appreciate Brother Tony being willing to step up.
Yes.
And take a load off of Preacher Matthew, too, yes. So he could get up here and preach. What a blessing. There's always willing somebody to step up. That's a blessing. Amen. I'm glad we got a church family that is willing to help one another.
Amen.
And do whatever it takes. That's a blessing. I wonder if somebody's got a special song they want to sing for us tonight before we get started. Amen.
There's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond, where the sailors shall soon the glory share, where the souls of men shall enter and live on forevermore. Everybody will be happy over there. Everybody will be
makes me think of years ago, I don't know. you know, which time it was, it was there in the old church. We got you to come preach for you Sunday. And I remember that bathroom, 52 cups of water up there.
He said, man, you remember that.
I remember you having a little kind of touch.
Yeah, so we put you two up there.
I don't know who's going to give, might have been Drew. I can't remember who's, but it might have been Drew.
I
had to go to the basement. I didn't realize he had to go to the basement. But that, I mean, I come over and preach, and I kept telling him, I said, son, you get this more water. I kept on it.
No, man, we appreciate the Lord letting us be here in this house this evening. Appreciate the pastor asking us to preach and giving us the opportunity. And the message the Lord gave us this evening, it was something I was thinking about the other day. And if you want to go ahead and be turned, you don't have to stand just yet, because I'll give us a little bit of introduction with the help of the Lord. But if you want to be turning to Luke chapter 12, we'll read a few verses beginning in verse 51. But I had, normally we don't go out this far, but they couldn't get anybody else. But I had a company that I did some stuff for out, they said it's Lake James area. Like, I don't know this part of, you know. It's on the other side of Morganton. Yeah, I got off on the Jamestown exit.
126, probably.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Highway 126.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I was going up that way, and I was going up I-40, and I saw a billboard that probably a lot of y'all in here have seen, I'm assuming, because of it being on this end of I-40. But the billboard made this statement. It said, love unites, but hate divides. And down at the bottom of that billboard was an emblem for the United Methodist Church. So now we know exactly what they were getting at on that, because we all know how that recently, you know, the United Methodist Church as a denomination intended to officially leave behind the Bible as doctrine.
Right.
And, you know, a bunch of the congregations said, well, we're not going along with that.
Yeah.
And, you know, they left that denomination, but now here they've got this billboard up. Right, and they're making this statement that on the face of it, you know, if you just take it for what the words say and you don't know anything about the meaning, you say, well, yeah, that's pretty well true, right? But it's not, you know, but what do they mean by that, right? And so the way the Lord worked it out, I can't remember whether it was either right before or right after. I had just read this scripture in Luke, and it hit me, the immediate application of what Jesus was talking about. What he mentioned here, and I know as children of God, that's what the Lord wants us to do. When we see these messages that the enemy puts out there, either towards the world or towards us or towards whomever, a lot of times we'll know instinctively by the movement of the Holy Spirit in us, there's something wrong with this.
Right.
But we need to know in God's Word how to answer this. Right? Because it doesn't matter what we think.
Right.
And sometimes our instincts can be wrong, and
right.
We may think we're following the Holy Spirit, but really we're just following what we think and what we know.
Right.
But the answer is right here in God's Word. So if you'll stand with me, we'll just read a few verses here at first, and then we'll go a little further. It's the Lord Jesus speaking here in Luke chapter 12 in verse 51. Jesus is preaching. He says, suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you nay, but rather division.
Yeah.
For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father. The mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother. The mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Pastor, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be in your house. I thank you, Lord, for your precious word, Lord, the wisdom that it has, the encouragement that it gives, the promises, Lord, that it fulfilled. I thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit, God, moving upon my heart. And Lord, strengthen the need in the greatest times of need, Lord, and even when I didn't realize it. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this church. And I thank you, Lord, for Preacher Matthew. I pray, God, may you anoint him now. And Lord, I pray that you would anoint the position that he's at. Lord, that you'd open our hearts to receive your word. Lord, that you'd edify us with your word yourself, God. May you just open up our minds to receive it and understand it. Give understanding to your people, I pray. Lord, help us to be able to focus and to yearn and desire to grow. We, I thank you for answering prayer, God. Lord, I am reminded even now, Lord, how that you've answered so many prayers. It's to give you thanks, God, for saving them that we've asked, Lord, and bringing Lord, peace to the hearts of people that I know, my family and friends. And I thank you, Lord, for that. I thank you, Lord, for being true always. I pray, God, that you'd help me and all of us, Lord, that we would stand for truth. Lord, that you'd remind us even yet tonight, God, of the call that you called us to. It's in Jesus' name, amen.
So Jesus has said here something that maybe would be surprising to us, and definitely would be surprising to a lot of folks in the world, or especially if you're just a young believer, right? How many of us, you know, were deep in the Scripture by the time we got saved? I mean, you know, that's not real common.
Right.
I'm not going to say it doesn't happen, but that's not usually the case.
Right.
Usually when the Lord first saves us, you know, we just don't really know a whole lot about the Scripture. What we know is we needed Him, and He called to us, and we said yes. That's what we know at that point. That's what I knew.
Yeah.
You know, in 1992, when I got saved, you know, as a six-year-old boy, all I knew is that God had shown me that I needed Him, and I said yes.
Amen.
Right? That's all I knew at that point. And, you know, I had to be taught in the Word. But so he asked this question here, suppose ye that I have come to give peace on earth. Well, you know, we might naturally have assumed that. But he says, I tell you nay, but rather division. And actually, he made a very similar statement over in Matthew chapter 10. Now, I have not studied enough to know whether this is the exact same event, or whether or not we're even able to tell that from the Scripture. Very likely the Lord preached the same thing in different places, because, you know, overall there's only one message, right?
Yeah.
He went a lot of places and preached, and it wasn't like some of these politicians in the past, back before the internet, where they'd say one thing here and one thing over there. Some of them still try to do that and they get caught, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Jesus was preaching the same message wherever he went.
Amen.
Right? So whether this is the same event or not, the same truth applies. Over in Matthew chapter 10, let's look in verse 34 for right now. Just keep your place. Sorry, I should have mentioned this already. Keep your place in Luke and Matthew, because Lord willing, we'll do some flipping back and forth here. Because right now, I want to just look at the core of what Jesus is saying, but I want to go back and get some more of the context around it. But in Matthew chapter 10, verse 34, he says, "Think not that I have come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." Well, what does a sword do? A sword divides.
Right?
That is its purpose, whether you are dividing flesh or whether you're dividing something else. That sword goes in the middle and something goes to each side of it. I mean, that's what it does. It's a cutting instrument. It divides that which is on the left from that which is on the right. He says, "For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household." So again, the exact same message that Jesus gives here. And so this stands in pretty direct contradiction, you know, to what we see on that sign there.
Right.
And I thought about it as we were just there praying. I thought, well, what is the purpose of this billboard anyway? Because the churches that have left have already left.
Yeah.
I don't think that they really believe they're going to talk any of them into coming back.
Right.
But what are they doing? I think they're trying to garner the positive opinion of mankind.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
They're trying to get the world to be in agreement with them. That's what this is all about anyway.
Yeah.
There has been a conflict, and there always will be a conflict between the doctrines of Christ and the doctrines of the world.
Right.
And there are some folks that are in power in that denomination that decided, well, they'd rather be on the side of the world than on the side of Christ.
Right.
What did Paul teach? What did he tell Timothy? He said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." But there are some folks that are more concerned about being approved to the world than they are being approved to God. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. When these two things meet each other, there's only two things that can happen, either compromise or divide.
Yeah.
That's the only two things that can happen, assuming that the other side will not be converted. But now I want to contrast this with Luke chapter 2, because here is probably where Satan has tried to take some of the Scripture and use it in a way other than the way God intended it. That's what he does.
Yeah.
Satan is not afraid to use Scripture.
Right.
But he's never going to use it truthfully. He's going to use it deceitfully. What
did
he try to do with Jesus himself? He tried to look in the face of the incarnate Word of God
and abused the word of God to achieve his own end. And of course, that didn't work out real well for him. But if we look there in Luke chapter 2, let's begin in verse 8. Super well-known scripture here. I mean, probably half of us could quote this. This is referring to the birth of Christ, of course. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.
Right.
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
Amen.
So now, you know, at first blush, this seems like a little bit of a contradiction. But what are those angels talking about here? I think you mentioned this recently. I feel like it's important to talk about this recently. Peace is not something that is had in an individual all by themselves. Peace is between two parties.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So the peace that Jesus is talking about that we will not have, if we're going to stand for him, we will not be at peace with men.
Right.
We are not going to. But what are these angels bringing a message about? That a Savior is coming that we may be at peace with God.
Amen.
That is the peace that Jesus brought, the peace between God and man, that if we would just be willing to admit that God is holy and he is right and we are wicked and we are wrong, that he will make that right for us if we will accept that sacrifice that he has given,
Amen.
That we can be at peace with him. But what that is absolutely not going to do is put us at peace with this world. As a matter of fact, it does exactly the opposite. It puts us at enmity with this world.
Amen.
So what we have here, when we see an attempt to use this concept that we see in Luke chapter 2 to say that we ought to be at peace with our fellow mankind, it's brought on by a failure to distinguish the difference between being at peace with God versus being at peace with man.
Right.
And that's where Satan has worked in this life. Because again, on that side, man, that sounds so good, don't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it does. If you say, hey, love unites and hate divides, again, on its face, that can be a true statement.
Yeah.
Right? Because the Bible has a lot to say about, you know, going to somebody with compassion and going to somebody with love and how, you know, soft answer turneth away wrath. There's a lot of wisdom in the Bible about those sorts of things. But, you know, when it comes down to the point of God says this and somebody else is saying the exact opposite, there can only be division or compromise. That's the only two options that we have. So I do want to go back and look at the context around the statements that Jesus made, because there's a lot of help in there for us, really. A lot of very convicting things that Jesus says here, at least it's convicting to me. I don't know if it is anybody else, but let's go back and look at Luke chapter 12, and let's back up just a little bit to verse 49. Back in Luke chapter 12, let's back up to verse 49. You know, earlier we read it in verse 51, but he said there in verse 49, I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? I'm sure the Lord could mean many different things here, but immediately what I thought of is the fire of the gospel. That he's brought that, and that gospel is to spread like a fire. It begins in one area, and what it really ought to do, and will do if the Holy Spirit is given leeway, is it will spread in every direction. That's what a fire does, doesn't it? That Maccabee experienced, you know, pieces of that magnesium landed in the dry leaves in the woods, you know. It started out in a little spot and it ended up a big circle. The kids said, come on, let's do a rubber dance out there. Trying to start those fires out. But really, that's what the gospel should do. When it is planted in an area, what God intends for it to do is spread in every direction, just like a fire does in leaves or dry grass. And you know what? As that fire burns, what it does is it sheds light. We talked about that here the other week, the candle of the Lord. You know, they have that in common. You know, the gospel light, not only does it illuminate particularly that one in whom it dwells, right? Each of us that say that light illuminates us, but then also it illuminates those things in the world that are around it. And what did Jesus say in John chapter 3? right, that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. They don't like that light or the gospel shining on what it is that they're doing, because that brings conviction on them. Not that we're anything, it's the power of the Holy Ghost and the Word of God that sheds that light. And you know what he says here, what will I? He's not saying, what will I do? Like, what am I going to do? It's what, it's will in the sense of, what do I intend? What is my will? You know, if it be already kindled. Well, if he's come to send fire in the earth, and it's already kindled, what is his will? That it would spread, right? It's kind of a rhetorical question here. But Jesus, notice in verse 50, he says, but I have a baptism to be baptized with. And how am I straightened till it be accomplished? And notice that word straight there. It does not have a G-H in it. That is not straight as in the opposite of crooked. It is straight as in narrow. Right? He is on the path that God has, he is God, God incarnate, right? But the Son is walking the path set for him by the Father, out of which he will not stray. The Bible says he set his face as a flint towards the cross, right? And think about the baptism that he's baptized with. Especially if we think about it in the terms that we know, we understand that baptism is a representation of our death with Christ. That is us going down in that water, under that water. It's as if we are buried with Christ. That's what the Bible teaches. And then just as he was raised from the dead, when we are raised up out of that water, that is representing the new life that, that Christ has birthed in us spiritually, and the new life that we will have in a glorified body one day when the body rises up out of the grave. But think about the baptism that Christ is faced with. When we think about it in those terms, he is faced with actual death.
Yeah.
The actual physical death of the body in which he came, he is faced with that. Now, granted, he calls it baptism for a reason, right? He knows he's getting up. But yet he still has to face that death. And that body in which he lived was so averse to that death that he knew he had to die. Look at the suffering that he did in the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing that his hour had come, right? But so you think about the what brought on the death of Christ. It was the hatred of the world. Now, I realize, really, it was the will of God. It was the sovereign will of God that that would happen. But what was the immediate cause? What was the cause that God used to put his plan into effect? It was the hatred and persecution of mankind. Amen. Now, this is coming into play with exactly what Jesus is talking about here. Because, have in the back of your mind that division. What is that? You know, that's going to involve the persecution and the hatred of mankind, you know, from them towards us. Isn't it? Right? That's never a pleasant thing. Division is never a pleasant thing. It is something that we have to endure, really. So, again, let's look at Matthew chapter 10. Let's flip back over there and look at the greater context that he gives in that. You know, earlier we read from verses 34 through 36, but let's go on and continue. You know, the last thing that he said that we read there was that man's foes shall be they of his own household. But then he comes down in verse 37, and he says, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me.
Right.
And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. And you know, this is another passage of scripture that the Lord gave me a message on here not too long ago. You know, what does that mean there about losing our life for the sake of the gospel? But the message that he gives us here is that we are to love Christ, which is to say, loving the truth. Because what did Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ is the embodiment of truth. So we are to love Christ, we are to love truth, more even than our own kin. Right? And so division from our fellow man must be our course. If they decide that they are going to divide from Christ. But then we start seeing what the real order of this is here. Who has instigated what? They divide from Christ. And then we have a choice that we have to make. Are we going to cleave to them or are we going to cleave to Christ? Right? So the problem is this life is often made uncomfortable in the service of the Lord. And, you know, this is a place where I really struggle. I cannot tell you how much preaching and teaching and radio programs and books and everything else I have seen recently about personal evangelism. And I'll confess to you, this is an area where I struggle. You are looking at a man that cannot stand contention. I hate it. I despise it. Which is probably, I don't know, that's probably an instinct that the Lord gave me because I have a hot temper. And so if I didn't hit contention, I would probably be in a lot of trouble. But it tears me up to think that I might be at variance with somebody. And so I struggle, right, with the idea. You know, it's hard enough when the Lord gives me a message to preach that I feel might not be received well or might be contentious. But He gives me the grace to get up and do it anyway. And I don't enjoy it. It tears up my nerves. I love the truth, and I appreciate being able to share that with my brothers and sisters in Christ, especially when it's something that the Lord gives me a zeal over, something that He gives me a burden over. I want them to know, but standing up here and thinking about the fact that somebody may be angry or frustrated because of what I'm preaching, that tears me up. It bothers me. And so when it comes to that kind of interaction with a person one-on-one, you know, I got to confess, a lot of times I see that opportunity and I pass it up. Because it's just, again, I'm just so averse to that contention.
Yeah.
But what are we called to, right?
Yeah.
You know, again, that's where that saying that's on that billboard is so turned on its head.
Yeah.
Is that true love tells the truth.
Right. Amen.
Love is not going to lie to somebody in an attempt to get along with them.
Yeah.
You know, you think about what Jesus said there. He said, look, what man of you, if his son come to you, will ask a loaf of bread, will he give him a stone?
Yeah.
Or what man, if his son will come and ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? He said, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does your Father in heaven know how to give good gifts to you? But now let's kind of look at the corollary of that. If your son were, for some reason, to come and ask for a serpent, how many of you are going to give it to him?
Right.
I mean, Jenny might because she likes snakes or whatever, but that's not, you know, I'm pretty sure she ain't going to give Noah, a live cobra fangs and venom sacs intact, right? I mean, you know, that's not something that we would do because we understand the danger of that.
Yeah.
Even though that's going to create some contention there because of the fact that there is actual, the love of God in that situation, you're going to say, look, you know, I realize this is what you think you want, but this is going to hurt you. And I'm just here to tell you the truth of the matter. Knowing that going into that, there's probably going to be a fuss.
Yeah.
There's probably going to be an argument. How many of us like those situations where our kids really, really, really want something and we got to say no? I don't know. Maybe there's some mean parents out there that just really like that. But the little hairs stand up on the back of my neck. Like, I don't, obviously I love my youngins enough to do that. But the question is, do we love our fellow man enough? So when it comes to those situations, are we willing to do it? Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus said, I've got this baptism I've got to be baptized with. He said, and I am straitened until I accomplish this baptism. Right? And he says here, he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. That's part of taking up that cross. And I struggle with that. That is convicting to me because this flesh does not like to be put in that situation. I can't tell you how many times I'm driving up and down the road and I see a total stranger and I feel compelled to pray for that person. God, that person might be going through something today. God, will you just help them? But when it comes down to that situation of being faced with, am I going to tell this person about Jesus? I just draw up and I struggle so much. I'll pray for me that God would give me a greater desire to do what He would have me to do, than the desire that I have to preserve this flesh and to make this flesh comfortable. I struggle with it, y'all, but he's telling us here, this is what we've got to do.
Right.
And that is right in line. That is right in line with this idea of this division. If you were in one house, and we know this is the case, how many of us in our families do not have somebody that the gospel is just repugnant to them? They don't want anything to do with it. Because they have a certain way that they want to live and they don't want anybody telling them any different. And, you know, you have the whatever, you have the family get-togethers or whatever it is, and you know that there is going to be contention there because they're going to want to do things that you know that you can't go along with, and you know that you are going to have to stand against that. And we see that division coming up. And we don't have questions about what Jesus wants us to do. We know what He wants us to do. We know He doesn't want us to compromise with those things.
Yeah.
And yet it is so difficult for us to do, right? And I think that's a lot of what Jesus is talking about here. When it, when he, see how it's just paired up here, this division within the family, see how he pairs that up directly with that statement that we are to daily take up our cross and follow him, because it is not pleasant.
Yeah.
Especially those of us that are saved, God gives us a love for peace.
Yeah.
We want that. We want peace.
Right.
Even if we were, before we got saved, a contentious type person, God puts in us to desire
right.
to get along with people, and we do want that. And I think about, you know, what did Jesus, when he was talking to his disciples, you know, the last few, or, well, I say not quite the last few, but several chapters there near the end of John, it's really just one long, you could call it a sermon, but really they were sitting down face to face, Jesus talking to his disciples, kind of the last things that he needed to tell them before he was crucified. If we look over in John chapter 16, we see what Jesus told his disciples about in the future, how well they could expect to have unity with the world. In John chapter 16, and verse 1, he said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended." And you know, in the Bible, a lot of times you see that offended is made to stumble. Not like, "Oh, you hurt my feelings," but caused me to stumble, caused to be confused. He said, "They shall put you out of the synagogues."
Yeah.
Right, to them in their day, you've got to remember that Jesus is talking to 12 Jews here, right? That's where they go to meet and fellowship with one another and study God's Word. That is their equivalent of going to church, right? And that, we know the difference between the Old Testament body of believers and the New Testament body of believers
right.
is the church. We know that. But you can, I mean, this is analogous here.
Right.
"They shall put you out of the synagogues, yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service."
Right.
I'm not seeing unity here.
Yeah.
Right? Between these disciples and the world system. "And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me."
Right.
There's a reason for this. He says, "But these things have I told you, that when the time come, you may remember that I told you of them." And that's one of the things that the Bible does. It tells us what to expect. And then when we see it, that's a verification of the Scripture there. Because
right.
he told us what to expect before it happens. And then lo and behold, it happens. He says, "And these things said I not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you." So again, they weren't going to have to worry about it that time because he was the one on whom the focus was. But now, bodily speaking, he's getting ready to leave them. Now he's going to send that comforter, and he talks about that. But once Jesus is gone, who's the one that all this is going to be focused on? It's going to be focused on them. And I thought I wrote down the scripture. I read it in here somewhere. But in one of these places, what Jesus said is that, you know, the reason that there is this division is because they have not received him. The way he says it is, "He that receiveth..." I accidentally skipped it. Let's go back. Matthew chapter 10. We've got to go back and get this. Matthew 10 verse 40. I about skipped it here in my notes. I saw the Matthew 10. And I saw the Matthew 10 and my eyes skipped down. But he said, "He that receiveth you, receiveth me." He's talking to his disciples here, his believers. "He that receiveth you, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me." Okay, so again, what is the corollary of that? If they reject us, well, they're not rejecting us.
Right.
They may think they are.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they really do. That, because we're the face they see, and we're the ones saying it.
Right.
Well, what they're saying is, "Well, I don't really care what Glenn has to say. Who does he think he is coming and telling me that I ought not to be doing this, that, and the other thing?" When really it ain't Glenn, right? It's just Glenn saying what God's Word said. And who gave us the Word? That is Jesus. But what did he come to say? He said, "I come to speak that which my Father has said unto me." So really, if they reject us, it's because they rejected Jesus. And they reject Jesus because they have rejected his Father. So the one that does not accept the Word that we give, the true Word through God's Word, now if we're at line, that's a different thing. But if we're speaking God's true Word and they reject us, they are rejecting Jesus. And if they reject him, they reject the Father. That's one of the things that our pastor has made very clear to us, that, you know, although, yes, Israel, that is God's chosen people, the Jews are God's chosen people, at this point in time, now granted, some of them are saved, right, there are saved Jews, but the ones that are still practicing Judaism as they see it, they have rejected the Father. They can say they worship God the Father, but Jesus says different. He says, if you don't worship me, if you don't receive me, then you've rejected the Father too. right?
Yeah.
So, but my point about that is, it's not about us. It's about God. That's who they're rejecting. Really, really, they're not divided from us. They are dividing from the Lord. And that's kind of the next thing that I want to look at here, this idea of division, because that's what we started out as, right? Jesus pointing out the fact that, you know, he came to bring division between man and man. Those that are believers in him and that believe his word versus those that are following Satan. He came to draw that division. Now, how many times do we see that in the scriptures? Over and over and over again in the scripture we see the idea of separation. And now who has to make the separation, right? It has to be God. But he separates that which is clean from that which is unclean. Even all the way back to the law, how many things do we see in the law that the purpose that they serve is to illustrate for them, those believers in the Old Testament, that because they serve a holy God, a God that is separated from all wickedness and unrighteousness, that he has called us to be a holy people. And because of that, he has called us to be separated from that which is unholy, right? And we see that Jesus talked about so many parables he gave. The separation of the wheat from the tares, for instance. Yes. How that in the end, God will perform that final separation. And actually, we see several separations along the way until then, right? What's the rapture? It's one of those separations. But there's more separations to come after that. Because there's people still alive on this earth during the tribulation after we're raptured out. One separation has already occurred. The final separation has yet to occur, which is typified in the feast of around the Feast of Tabernacles, the final harvest. Anyway, we see this separation over and over and over again. But in our lives, when these divisions come up, the divisions in the home, the divisions in a denomination.
Yeah.
You know, really, who's instigating this? Let's look over in the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 12. Because what the world wants to do is point the finger at us.
Yeah. Right.
Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 14. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Notice this talking about unbelievers here. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits.
Right.
Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So we see several different times through these verses of Scripture, all the way from back at verse 14, where he says, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. You're all the way down to avenge not yourselves. You know, we are not to divide from other people for causes of pride, especially not pride. But we're not to cause a division between us and somebody else so that we can get some kind of advantage. We are not even to put a division between us and people for purposes of justice. If we're wronged, yeah, now God gives a law. We have a law in our land, and the Bible talks about how that the powers that be are the ministers of God to bear the sword of justice. There's a law. But if the law gives us no satisfaction, then we are not to take that into our own hands.
Right.
We are not to divide from somebody for the sake of getting even or to get what we see as justice, because the Bible says God will take care of those things.
Right.
But what does he say in verse 18? If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men.
Yeah.
What does that mean? If the people around us in the world are interacting with us in such a way that we can abide by our convictions and live peaceably with them, that's what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to be going around looking for a fight. That's not what God wants us to do.
Right.
But when it comes down to it, if that other person has said, no, I will not obey the scripture, and you are going to accommodate what it is that I want to do, now we have a problem. Because now, see, that's out of our hands. They were the ones that decided to defy the commandments of God. And we can't go along with that.
Right.
They were the ones who first divided from the law of Christ. They have divided from truth. Then again, you know, we have that choice to make, you know, by that. So remember what we just said. Those that receive us, they're not really receiving us, they're receiving Christ. That's what they're doing when they receive our testimony. So by rejecting us, they have not rejected us, they have rejected Christ. Because they have chosen to divide from Christ, then they have chosen to divide from us. And that is exactly what happened in that denomination. See, the United Methodist denomination wants to make it look like all these churches decided to leave them. But that's not what happened. That denomination decided they were leaving God behind, they were leaving God's Word behind, and those churches said, we can't do this. We cannot accommodate what you are saying that we have to do. Right. We're going to have to go with the Lord.
Right.
The denomination left the churches.
Yeah.
On paper, it might be that the churches left the denomination, but that ain't how it was.
That's
the
right.
Denomination left the churches. Right? And we look over in 1 John. This is a scripture that we read often in these cases, and it sheds a lot of light and wisdom on instances like this. 1 John chapter 2. In verse 15, we'll start there. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Right? This is going back to just what Jesus said. He said, you know, you got to love me more than you love your own family, because if they decide they're going against me, you know, your responsibility is to stick with me. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And think about, too, what he's even talking about here. He's talking about the world system. That which is operated by Satan in this current age. He is still loosed for that little season, right? You know? So this world system, we're not to love it. He says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. So he's telling us here, what does he mean by world? The lust of the flesh,
right.
The lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of this world. Stuff that the flesh likes.
Right.
Right? And that's what this is all about. The whole thing about the United Methodist Church is they saw that there were things that people in their flesh wanted to do,
yeah.
And they didn't want to stir the pot, they didn't want to make waves, they didn't want to lose contributions. So they said, well, we'll just accommodate the flesh. That's what we'll do.
Right.
Right? It says, and the world passes away. And the lust thereof, that stuff's all going to be gone. Mm. They can spend their whole life living to the flesh. For that matter, as Christians, after we get saved, if we want to, we can override the Spirit and spend our whole life living to the flesh. And what will we have to show for it? Nothing.
Right.
Destruction. Right? The Bible says, we are we ourselves, we will be saved, yet so as by fire. If all of those works burn up. I mean, when we're saved, we're saved.
Amen.
But what a tragic thing to get over there and see every work that we have burn up. What a tragedy that would be. He says, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time. 2,000 years ago this was written. Right around about. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists. Whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us.
Right.
Many Antichrists, he says. Well, what is an Antichrist? It's a person that denies Christ.
Right.
Christ is the incarnate Word of God. To deny the Word of God is to deny Christ.
Right.
You can spin it any way you want to, but that's what it comes down to, right? So they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us.
Right.
But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. So that's exactly what God has done. How many times have you seen in the history of man, just that we know of? You know, there's plenty of times that we don't know anything about. But how many times in the history of man has there been a winnowing among the people that are in the church?
Right.
And when I say in the church, I mean inside the building.
Yeah.
Not part of the body.
Right.
There have been many, many different times where God, by various means and circumstances, has brought about a separation.
Totally.
Right, exactly. I mean, exactly. I can't tell you how much I thought about that while I was studying for this message. And you find out the ones that are willing to step out on God and trust God.
Yeah.
And the ones that are well, I'll show up at the church if everything's all right, but if things aren't too good, well, I'm not really going to come.
Well, what surprised me is when they said, don't go to church, they just, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And,
the government told them so.
And what does Hebrews say?
Yeah.
I think it's Hebrews. I'm probably mixing that up.
It's Hebrews chapter 10.
It is. Yeah. Forsake not assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more what? As you see the day approaching. Yeah. Now, let's just do a little bit of mental math here, right? As we see the day of the Lord approaching, do we expect things to get better or worse?
Right.
There's a whole big crowd out here that thinks that we're just not going to be good enough until one day we're going to be so good that Jesus will deign to come and be among us, and then that's when the millennial reign will be, or whatever. But that's not what the Bible says.
Right.
The Bible says evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. It talks about how that there's going to be earthquakes in divers places, and famines, and pestilences, and wars, and rumors of wars. So, let us examine the logic that was used during COVID. Since our pastor brought it up, I can get by with it, right? Look, they said, no, things are bad, don't go to church. Well, what did the Bible just get through saying?
Right.
The worse it gets, the more you better come.
Yeah.
Right? There was a winnowing.
Right.
Now, sometimes, hey, there's plenty of believers that fell for that, right?
Right.
But what does that do? God, He shines that light.
Yeah.
That's the candle. That's what we just got through preaching about a few weeks ago. He said, look what happened here.
Yeah.
Look what happened here. I gave you some instructions and you missed it. What is the purpose of that? Not so He could find out. He already knew.
Yeah.
The purpose was to show us.
Yeah.
Then we have another choice. We can say, God, forgive me.
Yeah.
Help me to do better next time. Right? Amen. Give me the unction of your Holy Spirit that when that comes again, I can face up to that fear, because I know you've not given me a spirit of fear.
Yeah.
You give me a spirit of love and of a sound mind. You give me that spirit of adoption whereby I cry, Abba, Father.
Yeah.
Right? And help me to step into that and to lean into that and to lean on you. Or when the next time comes, we can just say,
yeah.
I mean, I don't really see a middle of the road option.
Right.
That's what there is.
Amen.
There have been many, many winnowings where God used, again, various circumstances to show us where we are. And again, like, who among us is perfect? Who among us has arrived?
Right.
I mean, I've already stood up and tell you part of what my struggles are, and I feel like a lot of things is just to do with the iceberg.
Amen.
Sure.
It's like I mentioned down at Baby's Chapel Saturday night. I really appreciate that God loves me anyway. You don't love me at all. That's the only way.
Amen.
But He's given us clear instructions here. That's the deal. We don't have to, when we see that sign that says, oh, love unites but hate divides, and they have that, I'm going to say it, when they have that satanic meaning behind that.
Yeah.
You know, we may struggle with it a little bit, but we don't have to question what has God said.
Yeah.
We know what God has said. Now, a lot of times we don't feel it. A lot of times I don't feel it. I don't know what the truth is. I don't have any questions about what God's Word said about it.
Yeah.
Right? So we get to make that choice of whether or not we're going to go along with that. One more scripture that I want to read. We don't need another one, right? Because if He says it once, that makes it so. But, I mean, the Scripture is just replete with this stuff. There's one more scripture that I want to read and point out that, there was an attempt to rectify this situation previously. Titus chapter 3 and verse 10, Paul is writing to Titus here. Remember, he's a young pastor. Those are the two pastoral epistles, people call them. Well, I mean, there's a group because there's verse in 2 Timothy. But Paul wrote epistles to Timothy, who was a young pastor, and he wrote an epistle to Titus, who was a young pastor, giving them some instruction here. He says in Titus chapter 3 and verses 10 and 11, a man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition, reject.
Yeah.
Knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. I don't know if any of you remember, but here a few years ago, I guess it's been a few years now, there was a vote in the United Methodist Church or whether or not we were going to compromise on God's definition of sexuality. And that compromise was voted against.
Yeah.
It got voted against.
Yes.
The churches spoke and said, no, we're not going along with this. There was an attempt here. There was an admonition.
Yeah.
That's what he said here. After the first and second, there was an admonition. But then what did the United Methodist Church say? They said, we don't care what you vote, we're doing this. If you want out, get out.
Yeah.
So that's what they did.
Yeah.
They did what God told them to do, right? Actually, really, it was a great encouragement to me.
Yeah.
How many churches I saw change their signs.
Right.
To me, that was an encouragement that these folks are saying no. Daddy was UMC, and his daddy was UMC, and his daddy was UMC. You know, it's tradition. Our family is up, but we can't go along with this. We can't do this.
Yeah.
There comes a point where we have to say, no, we're going to do this God's way. And that's not, I mean, I'm not like advocating for any particular one of these assemblies. I don't know. I haven't been in them. They may be totally sideways on something else, right? I mean, I don't know. But what I can say is that on that issue, they sided with God.
Yeah.
That's what I can see. That's how much I know. Right?
Amen.
And that was very encouraging to me because honestly, I was really afraid that I wouldn't see much of a change. It was very, very few of those assemblies that I saw that stayed, you know, with that compromised denomination.
Right.
And that just, I mean, that tickles me to death. And I know our pastor would say the same thing.
Amen.
You know, being a Baptist didn't get me to heaven.
Right.
Because guess what? There's plenty of Baptist churches that are compromised just as bad as that looks.
Right.
I mean, what it says on the sign, that's like a serving suggestion, right?
Yeah.
If me and my wife move to a new city, there's certain signs that I'm going to drive by without looking at too many times.
Yeah.
And there's other signs that I'm going to look for because typically, you know, we know where these denominations stand.
Yeah.
But it's all down to an individual person. You know, I'm not trying to drag it out, but look at Revelation. Look at the seven churches. Look at all of the problems in them churches.
Yeah.
And yet Christ called them churches. There were ones in each of those assemblies that were faithful. Some of them were completely oppressed with the lies into which they were sitting, but they were believers, part of the ecclesia, the called out ones. That's what the church, in the Greek is ecclesia. That's what that means. Those who have been called out in every one of those assemblies. Now, there was one church, they were on the verge. He said, if you don't straighten up, I'm going to take that candle away.
Yeah.
What would that mean? Well, that's not even church anymore.
Yeah.
But they weren't there. Right?
Amen.
Right? So there's believers in these places, and I was just so encouraged, you know, when I saw that. But I just, you know, I believe what the Lord wanted us to see this evening is that we can go to His Word, and there's an answer. There's an answer to these challenges that we are issued. And He's given us a clear indication of what it is that He expects us to do. Then it's just up to us. Are we going to let the Holy Spirit empower us to make the right decision? That's really all we get. We can't. We don't have the ability to do that. That's just absurd.
Yeah.
If we had the ability to do that, we could save ourselves.
Yeah.
We gotta let Him do it, but we gotta let Him do it.
Yeah. Right? Amen. Love you, preach. Appreciate you. I'm the UMC I support is you have a metallic cartridge. You old timers probably know what that is, don't you? Remington UMC. You remember the boxes used to say that back in the day? They call it the same. But that used to be a branch of Remington Arms, was a non-metallic cartridge back a long time ago. Anyways, I appreciate that word. You know, I was preaching, I was sitting there thinking, and, you know, kind of along those same lines, and, you know, I've said that before, that Jesus Christ, He comes to offer us peace with God if we're willing to forfeit peace with the world. Satan, the spirit of the Antichrist, he offers us peace with the world if we're willing to forfeit peace with God.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, that's one of the big promises of that Antichrist when he comes, is world peace.
Yeah.
Peace with the world. You know, people think that the Antichrist is all atheist. If you study it, he's very religious.
Mm-hmm.
The spirit of the Antichrist is not about anti-religion. It's very religious. It's like, you know, he's talking about that we'd be thrown out of the synagogues or out of the churches, and people will think that they're doing God's service to kill us. And so it's not about being against religion. It's about they want us to be against Christ. The world is armed against Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And anything that He stands for. That is a fact. You could go right now to Washington and you could hold up a sign in Aramaic and you could holler whatever it is they holler in Aramaic, they're saying God is good, something about Allah. I can't remember all, but I'm going to say it in church. Yeah. But in any case, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You could go chant that, and they'd probably come down there and offer you a job.
Yeah.
But if you went up there and tried to witness to anybody, this is in our government.
Yeah.
The most probably Christian nation in the world.
Yeah.
This is at our nation's capital. And I'm not just making this up. I mean, this is a very safe assumption to make based on what we see. If you went and you took the Bible, you preached the word of God, they'd have tried to have you thrown in prison.
Yeah.
And that's the day and hour we're living in. I think it's time we get serious about standing for truth. In the hour in which we find ourselves, Jesus is coming back sooner than later.
Yeah.
Amen.
Where will he find you? What will you be burdened with? What will you be busy with? What will you be tied down with? What will you be trying after? I believe this. I believe this word. If I didn't, I wouldn't be here. I remember preaching when God saved me. I wasn't looking for it. Mm-hmm. I didn't necessarily want God. I wanted a girl I was going to church with. But God, he spoke to my heart. He showed me the way I was living was sinful. And at first, I had it in my mind that this girl I was dating, her family had went and told the preacher everything I was doing into, you know, he's trying to get him to pick on me. And I said, well, I ain't coming back here. I said, they just going to make a punching bag out of me. And I've told you this before, and you probably remember, you know, I was full of the devil back in. I had a mind that I thought, well, I don't care who he thinks he is, I'm going to confront him. And I thought, if I got to, I'll get that old man. That's what I thought. And I didn't know nothing about preachers back in. You know, I thought if he was a preacher, he was probably, you know, pretty peaceable. Knowing what I know now, Lord saved me from getting my hiding walk that day. Ken Frady's still pretty young back then. He probably worked me over pretty good. I was just a little scrawny thing. He's a pretty big old fella.
Yeah.
He'd probably leave me out there in the parking lot. Might have gotten in a little quicker than I got there. But in any case, I didn't. You know what I did? I went back at night. And I said that night, I said, you know what? I said, I quit living. I quit doing this. I quit drinking. I quit drugs. I did. I quit cold turkey. All that. You know why? Because I thought I was proving some kind of point. I kept going to church. I kept being there. And I kept hearing that word. And it kept convicting me. And I kept trying to do better. And finally, I remember looking around one Sunday morning. And I said, I'm trying so hard. I thought, I ain't nobody here trying as hard as I am. I remember thinking this. And I looked around. And I thought, you know, maybe at one point in time, people could be good enough to go to heaven. I don't think it's possible anymore. My man alive, there's just so much temptation out there.
Yeah.
And I thought, we all want that. I remember thinking that, preacher, and I was sad. And I prayed that afternoon. I said, Lord, whatever else it is you want me to do, I'll do it. I'm going to prove that I'm going to make it. If nobody else makes it, I'm going to make it. That night, for the first time ever, the gospel was heard by my ears. I had been preached to me my whole life, but I never heard it. Well, that night, I remember, for the first time, it was just like a light bulb went off. That's what happened. The light came in, you know.
Yeah.
That Jesus had to die for my sins. I was born in sin. And the only way out of that, I was never going to be good enough. I still ain't never achieved that.
Yeah, amen.
Even with God's spirit being in me, this flesh is so wars against the spirit so much, I still ain't done enough to do. But he saved me, not because of what I was or who I am or what I've done, but because of who he was.
Amen.
And what he had done.
Yes, sir.
Everybody's born once. We're born into Adam.
Yeah.
We're born into sin. And Adam, the Bible says, we all die.
Yeah.
In Christ, we live.
Yeah.
You must be born again.
Amen.
Amen.
That second birth is what it takes.
Yes, sir.
I thank God for loving me, dying for my soul, I'll tell you what, I'm thankful to him tonight. And I want to live for him. I want to have a testimony, not for my sake, but for his sake. I want to witness to others. When I got breath in my lungs, I want to preach the gospel. And I want to tell others about Jesus. Amen. Every chance I get, I'm going to spread the truth, whether it's divisive or not. I want to confront people with the facts. I want to confront people with the way that they're living. Pray for me too, preacher. That's something I think we all struggle with, brother. We do. Nobody likes that. Nobody does. But that's what we're called to do.
Yeah.
If you love your children, you confront them with the truth.
Yeah.
The world wants to paint this picture that love is supposed to be easy, and if it ain't easy, it ain't love. The world tells you nowadays if you got friends and they become difficult, and they're hard to get along with, and they're toxic, is what they call them.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're supposed to disregard them and push them to the side because they got issues. Let me tell you something. Love is never easy.
Right.
Love is hard. You think it's easy? You think this comes easy for God to love me? It can't be easy to love me. I wish I could get to have my wife here. She could testify. But yet it does. Mm-hmm. It takes patience.
Yeah.
It takes discipline. For you and I, it takes patience, it takes discipline. But if we love our neighbors, if we love our brother and sister, we'll tell them the truth. It's not going to be the easy way. Matter of fact, it might bring some trials and difficulties. But if it shows them the truth, they might not come to know Jesus Christ. It'll be worth it.
Amen.
God didn't save you to live the rest of your life for you. He saved you to live the rest of your life for him.
Yeah.
Let's bow our heads for prayer tonight. Father, I want to thank you for your word and Lord's convicting power over my life. I pray, Lord, that you help me, help all of us here tonight, God, that we would be a witness for you, Lord, that we'd be a light to the world. Thank you, Lord, for dying on Calvary for our sins, being a blessing and a help to us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for putting truth in my life, God, a light that I couldn't ignore. I pray, Lord, that you help us to be a light to others. May you be glorified. Lord, it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to take up an offering. But he says, what's your names again?
Stephen and Lacey.
Stephen and Lacey. Are y'all trying to get out of town soon? Are y'all going to be here much longer? Or, do you know?
Trying to get back as soon as possible.
Trying to get back as soon as possible.
Yeah.
So you're hoping to be gone by this weekend. Okay. All right. Well, they come back. We wasn't able to do anything for them Sunday because everybody's left. But if you have some money and you're willing to give, just try to give what you can, be a help to them. Jesus said that one day we're going to meet him and he's going to say, I was hungry and you fed me. He's going to say, I was naked and you clothed me. And he says that when we do it to the least, many of these said, you do it to me.
Yeah.
So give as you would the Lord. You know, I heard somebody say one time, said, treat everybody you meet like it's Jesus in the skies.
Yeah.
That's a hard thing to do.
Yeah.
That is. But in any case, preacher, you want to come lead us in a song? And we'll get a people know you boys come up here and get the plates. So we'll pass them around. Lord willing, we'll see you Sunday morning. And please be careful going home, drive safe. Pray for me, pray for my mother, pray for little Hannah. She got her some braces. And I just remember, you know, I asked you about the hurting. And don't start hurting until about 3 days in. That's when it really gets you. I remember that now. So pray for her. She's got it coming. All right.